Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and with me today we have a perennial guest. Seems like coming up with the daffodils in the spring. It's Tom Dabrowski returning from the Iowa
Hello, Phil.
Trails Association. Good morning, Tom. And along with Tom today, we have Barbara Samet, the new North Idaho Trail Program Specialist for Idaho Trails Association. Brand new position and a new person in the position. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
And so we'll start with the general introductions, but Barbara, when we get to you, we'll go a little deeper dive because our listeners will want to hear more about you being that we call the new kid on the block. But Tom, for new listeners or folks who might not have caught all of your bio before, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your role with Idaho Trails Association.
Sure. Well, someone on this radio show lured me into ITA, and I think his name was Phil Huff. And that was many years ago when I responded to a little article in the Daily Beast saying that this group called the Idaho Trails Association would have a one-day project up on Grouse Creek. And I came out to do that. And I had so much fun, I decided to get more involved. So, my background is that I was trained as a nuclear physicist. I worked for many years in the nuclear energy and then the environmental restoration business. And all that time, I also was an adventurer. And I spent a lot of time in a lot of places in the world on climbing, the mountain climbing, and hiking in general, and other adventurous pursuits like caving and kayaking and all that sort of thing. And so when my wife and I got married many, many years ago, she said, "When we retire, we're going to return to Sandpoint." And I thought, "I can live with that." And so when we got back here, the idea was, excuse me, we wanted to give back to the community, and I particularly wanted to give back to our public lands. So I got involved with ITA, and soon thereafter, I was on the board of directors, and soon after that, I became president of the board. And the mission was to continue to grow ITA so every year we could do more trail work in more places. When you and I first met, Phil, and I went on that project that you led, we did one project in northern Idaho. Last year, we did 17 up here. And this year, we have 26 that are planned. And Barbara will talk more about that here in a little bit. But we've really grown tremendously throughout the whole state. We went from 14, well, now 15 years ago when we started in 2010, we did one project with 20 people. Last year, we did 77 projects with 729 volunteers. So it's really grown a bunch. And last year alone, we did just a tad shy of 12,000 hours of trail work. When you add it all up in 14 years, the volunteers that make up the Idaho Trails Association have done 85,000 hours of trail work. And that's all volunteer trail work. And so it's been very impressive. We've cut out tens of thousands of trees and helped to clear many miles of trails. And our mission is simple. It's we want to keep Idaho's hiking trails open for all. And that's what we're all about.
And we're going to get into the details of this coming year, but putting that in perspective, last year you said 77 projects, and on the docket for this year, there's how many?
On this year, we're saying officially 90.
That's phenomenal. And that's so in 15 years from one trail, and I remember that one well down in the Sawtooths, and now 15 years later, 90. So that's about the growth I think that some of us were envisioning, but maybe weren't quite confident we'd get there, but it's very reassuring to see it happening.
And the other part about it, Phil, is it's been a huge amount of fun. One of the things that we get from our volunteers, they love the camaraderie because you go out and work with people and you get to roll around in the dirt and swing a tool and cut trees and that sort of thing. People say that they met really nice folks, like-minded folks, and have had a really good time with those people. And what we tell our crew leaders, we have trained volunteers who become crew leaders. We tell them, make sure people are having fun. The important part here, the fuel in our engine is volunteers that will come out and work on trails. So that's why we work to make it fun for them. So they'll tell their friends, neighbors, and relatives, and we'll get more volunteers, and then the original volunteers will come back for more.
It is the secret to success. I was just thinking about this. There was a long bio on Southwest Airlines, which is going through some changes, but Southwest's success over the last 50 years has been predicated on their founder, Herbert Kelleher. His vision was if the employees are having fun, then the passengers will respond and the airline will succeed. And there's a corollary here. If the volunteers are having fun, then more volunteers will come out, more work will get done, and everything will move forward exponentially.
That's exactly right, and it's worked. When we started out those 14 years ago, we said number one, we were going to be safe. Number two, we were going to do quality work, and number three, we were going to have fun. And I'm really pleased to say that in those 85,000 hours that we've done over those 14 years, we've not had one serious single in not one single serious injury, not one.
Yeah, that's remarkable too. And with all that growth, there are limiting factors yet. If we're concentrating here on North Idaho for our listeners and for the area of focus we have, to continue to grow from last year 18 to 26 this year really means bringing on a staff person to help with the coordination, to help with the volunteer recruitment and management and deployment of people and resources. So there's only so much that a volunteer coordinator can do, and especially as we look how to empower volunteers, that position's so critical. Am I getting that right, Tom, or do you want to tell us a little more about how that position came to be?
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. excuse me, I've been sort of the lead volunteer here in Northern Idaho, and the program had grown so much that it became really clear that we needed a full-time person. And ITA, with the addition of Barbara, we now have four full-time paid staff folks. Because when we went from one project in a year, us volunteers could handle the whole thing. Now, with 90 projects and all of the work that goes into that, because some of those projects are one-day things, like here on Mikinik Trail, just outside of Sandpoint, but some of them are multi-week projects that involve packers and food and airplane flights and just a myriad of details to get out there and have some of those fun projects. So became clear we needed more help. And because the majority of our staff is in the Boise area, our next largest work location is here in northern Idaho in the Idaho Panhandle National Forest. And so we went out for a grant and were awarded a grant from a private foundation, the Murdoch Trust. And that allowed us to go hire Barbara. And we're really, really glad she's here.
Well, I think it's time we hear from Barbara. So, welcome to North Idaho. Welcome to the show, Barbara. I think Tom and myself and many others are glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm
Yeah.
happy to be here.
So, before we launch into your roles and responsibilities and plans for the summer, just tell us a little bit more about yourself, your background, what experience and interest you have in trails and trail work.
Yeah, so I am actually from Michigan, not Idaho, and I grew up there and then went to school in Wisconsin studying electrical engineering. And after my bachelor's degree, I decided to pursue a hike of the Pacific Crest Trail. And I had really no backpacking experience or camping experience to go off of, but ended up getting a little bit of practice in before I headed out. And it completely changed my life. I loved being out there, and I really appreciate trails and everything it can bring to people and how it connects everyone and connects people to their inner self as well. And when I got off the trail, I headed straight back into engineering and found that it really wasn't sitting right with me, being back there. And I promised myself that if I really pushed at it, that I would be able to can do another thru hike. So I started out on the Appalachian Trail about a year ago, and when I finished the trail, I was looking for work and found this perfect golden opportunity at Idaho Trails Association, and I couldn't believe that it was a real job and that I could live in Coeur d'Alene and work on trails and really work on something that I was passionate about. And I applied for the job and ended up meeting Tom and everyone at ITA and really found that it was a great fit for me. So decided to set out on this new journey.
Well, welcome. Before we get to the trails, when are you going to do the Continental Divide?
Maybe in a few years, we'll see.
Bill, don't you stop that right now. Barbara's committed to stay for a long time and get us all squared away.
Yeah, not for at least 3 years, 5 years. Yeah. Well,
Course down the line.
that's a great origin story. And so the job brought you out to the Coeur d'Alene area.
Well, I actually was living in Coeur d'Alene prior to this job. I moved to Coeur d'Alene in beginning of May of 2023.
Good. So it's a perfect fit then.
Yeah.
So, tell us what's coming up.
Well, as far as events go, I've been trying to get out in the Coeur d'Alene area and really share about what Idaho Trails Association is doing. Tom's done a great job of engaging Sandpoint area, and we're trying to do a lot of what he does in Coeur d'Alene. I'll be at the summit, Green Summit, on April 5th, and we have a pint night in town on April 19th. And then after events, we're going to start the season of actually doing trail work. We've got 26 projects planned, and we've got a lot of great crew leaders ready to go and partnerships with different organizations, and it's really exciting.
Now, most listeners will, I'm sure, be tracking on some level or other the chaos in some of our government agencies with regards to staffing and other decisions. How does the Forest Services being in the news with having so many layoffs and uncertainties, how's that impacting Idaho Trails Association?
Yeah, well, we're really heartbroken for the people who have lost their jobs, and we're there to support them in any way we can. We know that this year is uncertain. We don't really know what this year's going to look like and the next couple years. So, as we kind of wait and see, we're just in constant contact with the Forest Service and hoping that we can do more as a partnered organization and really asking more people to get out there and support the trails.
I guess very pointedly, does it give a pause to any of the plans for the upcoming season or redirect any of the proposed project areas?
Nothing for North Idaho, and we have been able to follow through on a lot of our promised grant money. So it shouldn't. Currently, we haven't made any changes to our plans in any of our projects, but it's possible that we will need to. We'll see.
That's a key thing, Phil, that we understand that the folks in the Forest Service, and particularly the great folks in Forest Service recreation area, they don't really know what's going to happen. So we're maintaining maximum flexibility. And we may have to, as Barbara said, we may have to change project locations on some in some cases, but we're going to keep the dates. And so we have the funding, we have the wherewithal, and basically we're getting ourselves ready to go, and we're going to be out there working on the trails this summer.
So, safe to say, it's still going to be a very busy summer trails season.
Absolutely.
Now,
And two in that regard, there's something that I will ask all of your listeners to do. One of the things we know is because of staffing cuts in the Forest Service, it's going to be very difficult for them to get out and see the trails that they're responsible for. And so we have a thing in ITA called the Trail Reporter. And so if you go to our website, which is Idaho Trails, that's trails plural, idahotrailsassociation.org, and go to volunteer. Under volunteer, there's a thing called Trail Reporter. One of the things we need to know is what are the conditions of the trails? Anybody that lives in northern Idaho for very long knows that we can get some really big windstorms come through, some weather events, and we can go a trail that's been cleared and doesn't have any logs across it. After one event, it can have 100 trees across it. So if people, while they're out hiking, if they'll go to the trail reporter, tell us what the condition of the trail is, that lets us know if there's a particular problem area, and then we can go work on that problem area to get those trails cleared.
Yeah, there's always the potential for a redirect because of emerging needs like that, or conditions like potential for a fire or smoke closure or heat distress day. So, being able to adapt is always a good thing, and that trail reporter tool provides the data necessary, some of
Absolutely.
it. So, what are some of the projects coming up here for North Idaho? Would you like to run through a short list, Barbara?
Sure. We have plenty of day projects. We've got backpacking projects. We've got car camping. We have even week-long projects that are packed in, supported, and a whole realm of things. So whatever you're interested in, we've got. And we're really open to any skill level too. So if you think that you can't really do much, you really can help us too, and please come. So, as far as projects go, our first big one of this season is going to be the English Point Trail in Hayden near Coeur d'Alene, and that'll be fun kickoff. We do have one smaller project before that, up on the western shore of Priest Lake, but this will be the first one where it'll be a really fun kickoff. And then we've got.
And what's the date on that?
Oh, that will be May 17th.
May 17th.
As far as some of our fun long trips, we've got two in the St. Joe that are really exciting. One of them is on the St. Joe River, and that's July 13th through the 19th. And the second is Heart Lake, which Tom always raves about as his favorite place in North Idaho. And that one is going to be August 10th through the 16th. So if you're looking to really get out there and experience a week on the trail doing some really impactful work, sign up for those projects. And then we've got an old timers retreat, which will be fun. So anyone 65 plus on the Coeur d'Alene River, July 23rd through 27th. So that'll be a weekend. Oh, that's sorry, the 25th through the 27th. And that'll be a weekend for everyone to get together and do some trail work. All ages are welcome on these trips, and everyone's able to make a good impact. So that's really our inclination to have that trip, was to show people that you really can do a lot. So, yeah.
Where can people go to find out more information and sign up?
Well, our website, like Tom said, idahotrailsassociation.org. And if you go to the projects spot. It'll say they have a big button saying projects, and you'll click there and go there, or you can do idahotrailsassociation.org/projects, and that will also get you there.
I'm sure there's some of the marquee trails you've got special things planned for. The Mikinik Trail, Tom, seems like one that ITA has adopted. When is
Yes,
that
we
one planned?
have National Trails Day. Please come out to Mikinik Trail.
In
And
seven.
that's one that's it was built by hikers for hikers, and it's the iconic trail right outside of Sandpoint, and we always have a good turnout for that. But we ask people, come on out and try it. You don't have to go all the way to the top. Just as Barbara said, we have all kinds of skill and conditioning level. And we go out and have a lot of fun on that one. One other thing I might add, it's maybe I'll share a secret here. Barbara mentioned the St. Joe River and what a great trip that is. Just to give you an indication, both Barbara and I are already signed up for that project because it has a couple of really neat things. One is we work hard during the day, but then in the evening you get a chance to fish. And that has one of the best swimming holes I've ever seen. So, and also Heart Lake. There's a whole series of lakes up there, and I'm proud to say that I managed to swim in all of them as I worked my way along.
Well, that's the joy of a week-long trip. You've got the overnights and some stunning locations. What I want to know,
Absolutely.
where's the best one for huckleberries? Or are you telling?
Well, you know me well enough, Phil. I am not going to tell you where the best huckleberries are.
Probably safe to sign up for any of the August trips.
Yes.
Think you'd get some pretty good huckleberries at Heart Lake.
That's
I
good to
think
know.
so too.
ITO's has grown and evolved too with some of the specialty programs that have been offered around the state and sometimes up in North Idaho. Do you want to talk a little bit about the youth programs or the women's only weekends?
Sure. I'll start with the youth. Phil, you might remember about 5 years ago, we got some grant money from the Wood River Women's Foundation, and we started our first ever youth program. And one of the things that the board believed all along is that it's critically important to get more of our young people out in the on their public lands. Get them out there so they can see what an incredible treasure this is that we all own together. So we started that first youth project about 5 years ago. We got a letter from a young 14-year-old young lady who participated, and she said, "I want to thank you because you changed my life forever." And you noticed when Barbara did her introduction, and she said that hiking, doing the thru hikes, changed her life. Ever since then, we've had multiple youth projects every year. We're up to six or seven projects every year now, and it's just been a huge success. We see a number of the young people that come back each year because they want to do it again, and it's been very worthwhile. So the youth program is open to youth 14 through 18 years old. And if they don't have gear, we have some loaner gear we can have them use. And I'll promise you, if they come out, they're going to have a good time with their friends.
The Women in the Wild program, which was started by one of our board members, Pam, who asked Tom, "Hey, we'd like to do a women's weekend. What do you think?" And then they started that up, and it's been really great for women to experience doing trail work with other women, and they're very popular trips. It was one of the first to fill up for North Idaho, and we're hoping to do more. So it's really great that we can offer that for women to feel comfortable coming out on a trip if they just want to be around other women and enjoy the camaraderie of being around women who have the same interests as you and want to do trail work and keep the trails open. So it's really special. And we also have a veterans program, actually, where we bring veterans together to do trail work and they've really loved doing this work together and enjoying that camaraderie as well. And this year we'll be partnering with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers on a project, and for just them, and then also with their Armed Forces Initiative for a Veterans Project. So we've got that one coming up this year, and anyone who's a veteran is welcome to join that trip too. So.
Very nice.
And
So,
another thing that we're offering, Phil, is a thing we call wilderness immersion. And the whole concept here was to give people an opportunity to get out into our wilderness areas here in Idaho and get disconnected from technology, get disconnected from day-to-day life and the worries and travails. And all they had to worry about was chopping that root with the Pulaski or cutting that tree with a cross-cut saw. And those projects have been tremendously successful. This year, we're going to do we the first 2 years we did these wilderness immersions, they were 3-week-long projects. Excuse me. And we decided this year we're going to shorten them a bit. So we're going to have two that are 10 days long and one 12 days long. The idea again is we're going to get into a really remote location that it's difficult to get into normally. And we're going to work on some trails that are far out there and are in gorgeous places, but don't get much work done on them because they are so remote. So the three we're going to have this year, one in the Frank Church Wilderness area, will fly into Chamberlain Airstrip, spend 12 days. Another one we're going to do is in the Hell's Canyon area, on the south side of the Seven Devils. And then the final one in the Southern Sawtooths, in the Queens River area. And that's all three of these places are beautiful. And so those are open for signups now. And then because they're so long and so remote, we go through an application and then a selection process to pick the people that get to go on those projects.
What a wonderful opportunity. That talk about life-changing potential with the complete wilderness immersion. Springtime always involves a few training opportunities or opportunities to step up and become more than just a volunteer, but become a leader. Do you want to go in a little bit of detail about that?
We do have a Trail Skills College hosted by Tom. Thank you very much. And that will be beginning of May, and we'll be training our crew leaders there. And we've got a bunch of new deputies ready to go and be assistants this year, and they'll be participating in our crew leader college as well. So that's really exciting. And actually, we'll be having an online auction starting today, and we have lots of awesome items that we'll be auctioning off. So be sure to check it out. We have the links posted on our website and on our Facebook page to gala bid, and that will be having we have packages with gear, we've got packages with trips, we've got really cool actually remote trips with flights included. We have art that's gorgeous being auctioned, really unique pieces. So whatever you're looking for, it's there.
Very nice. What's the
The
end date of the auction?
reason this is one of these things we do, Phil, the auction business, and also our fundraisers with our members. And I'm really happy to announce that we've just passed 900 members of ITA. We have 5 to 6,000 people on our email list. And again, we're a nonprofit organization. The majority of our funding comes from outside taxpayer funds. The majority comes from memberships, from donations, from private foundations, that sort of thing. And so, as Barbara said, we have this auction coming up. I know one of those trips is really neat. It's to fly into a backcountry airstrip, I believe in the Frank, and then have a multi-day trail ride, and they cook you dinner and all that kind of thing. So So really neat thing.
What a
I'm
great
going to be
opportunity.
running March 25th all the way through April 3rd.
Okay, April 3rd. Okay. Well, let's see. We've talked about the year and where ITA is coming the last 15. If you had that crystal ball, where do you see ITA going in the next 10 or 15, Tom?
Well, Phil, I see continued growth. More importantly, I see continued fun. We again, this will be our 15th season, and the great thing about Idaho, it's big, it's blessed with a lot of public lands, and we're not in all those places yet. We have very few projects over on the Idaho side of the Tetons and the Yellowstone area. And so we're looking to expand over there. So what I see is I'll remain on the board for a period of time. And what we see in the board is continued growth. We want to grow so that we remain safe. We do good work for the Forest Service. I see that we're going to have to be very agile and adaptable because as changes in the federal programs come about, we may have to change where we're going and the kind of work we're doing, but I see opportunity for a lot of growth.
Well, as we're starting to wind things down here for the interview, any closing thoughts, final reminder about how listeners can find out more? And Barbara, we'll start with you and give Tom the last word.
All right, sounds good. Yes, so if you're interested, we have all of our events and projects and opportunities up on our website at idahotrailsassociation.org, as well as our Facebook page. We started a new hiking group in the Coeur d'Alene area where we're doing hikes every Thursday morning, and you'll see me and Tom there most times. And we're really just hoping to engage more of the North Idaho community and spread the word about the work we do, because I think a lot of people would enjoy doing some projects with us and seeing their trails that they love getting worked on and staying open.
Well, Barbara said it very well that we would like to see more people volunteer to come out and help with their trails. And what we can promise you is that you'll meet some really neat people. I've looked back over the many years that I've been with ITA and I think about all the great friends I've met. In fact, Phil, that's how you and I first met.
That's right.
And it's been a tremendous amount of fun and very rewarding. So I can promise people if they come out and work on these trails, they'll feel really good about themselves and they'll make a lot of new friends.
Trails do have a way of bringing both people and communities together.
They do.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming on the show. And Barbara, welcome to the North Idaho and North Idaho Trails community. We'll have you back soon, maybe a midsummer update. And Tom, as always, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Phil.
Tom.